This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, a podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship. You can subscribe and download episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can follow us on our social media pages. And while you're at it, I would love a review. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Thanks for Sharing. I'm your host, Jackie Pack. And what have I been up to lately? Let me just think off the top of my head. We just got back from a family vacation to Mexico, which I really needed some time away by a beach. And so that was great and had a fun time. It was not a long vacation, but that's okay. It was by the beach. It was warm. It was sunny. And we had a lot of good times. And I enjoy getting away, and I needed to get away. It's been a while since I have been able to get away somewhere where there is a beach, and I value that space of being by a beach in the sun. So I've been up to that. The other thing, let's see. Oh, I've been watching. I don't know if any of my listeners have been paying attention to, I know it was a national story, possibly even international, the Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow Daybell case. You know, it happened in 2019. Well, I mean, I think it started a year before that from what, you know, I've read and what I understand. But in 2019, Lori's two minor children, 17 and I think he was seven, her son, went missing. And, you know, there was some Dateline episodes. I don't know if I have very many true crime listeners. I don't really know much about my listeners. So I would love to know if I have any true crime fans. I do like true crime. My husband does not. He doesn't understand why I do. He's like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't want to watch it. And so, you know, I'll listen to things. I'll watch things when he's out of town. I have some theories as to why I am interested in true crime and why it doesn't freak me out. It used to freak me out, but now it doesn't. And I am interested in this case particularly, maybe because it happened in Idaho and part of it happened in Utah. Maybe that's part of the reason that it has really caught my attention and it has been something I've been following. Yeah, it happened, you know, the faith that I grew up in and the faith that I transitioned away from, I would say, I mean, they're not representative, I wouldn't say, of the faith that I grew up in. They kind of maybe kind of had their own offshoot beliefs from that and took it to an extreme, I would say, and, you know, kind of got into the whole prepper movement, that type of thing. You know, that's, I know that has been a big community across the United States, but particularly I would say in Utah and Idaho, we have some big prepper communities. It was never something, you know, that I have was a part of or that my family was a part of, but, you know, it has that connection to the faith that I grew up in. And so I think that also made it interesting to me, or, you know, just caught my attention and I followed it more closely. So last year was when Lori Vallow Daybell, they're having separate trials. So hers was last summer, I believe. So maybe a little bit later than this time of year, but maybe it was actually around the same time of year. My younger sister actually went to the trial, drove up to Idaho in Boise. I think it's a 5-hour drive from where we are. And she went up and got in and sat in the courtroom. It was actually, you know, they didn't know that it was going to be the last day of the trial and they would wrap with closing arguments, but it was. And so she was there and it was interesting. And we talked about it. She has her master's degree in social work as well. And so we talked about just, you know, maybe our speculation or some ideas that we had about the psychology of the case and the two individuals. And so currently, Chad Daybell, his trial is going on. I think this is the beginning of week 4 of his trial. And, you know, you can watch it on YouTube. So I have been watching the trial on YouTube after I finished working, or, you know, while I was on vacation, I would still kind of keep up to date with the trial and kind of watch and pay attention to some things. Opening statements kind of made me angry. I don't like as a defense attorney. I know, you know, defense attorneys have a job to do. I understand that he's doing his job. I have a brother who is also a criminal defense attorney. So I understand that job. I value that job. I think we need people representing, you know, we need skilled attorneys. I
representing people as defendants. What really put me off, I would say, was in his opening argument, and you can see this as he's, you know, cross-examining witnesses. We're still in the state's case, so they're still calling their witnesses. We haven't got to the defense calling any witnesses yet. But when he's, you know, you can see it come up at certain times if he's cross-examining certain witnesses. And he blatantly said it in his opening arguments, basically, that, you know, Chad was just living his life, going along, doing his thing, writing some books, talking at certain conferences. And then Lori walked into his life. They met at a conference, actually in Southern Utah. They met at a conference and, you know, basically like this is all her fault and that, you know, she's such this beautiful, blonde, assertive, sexually, this high sexual energy that like Chad just basically had no choice. And Chad was just so smitten with her, you know, that just, I was listening and I watched the opening statements. I was listening and watching them and I just was, I don't know. I thought we were ahead of that. And I mean, I don't know that we'll see if that type of representation by the defense works. And if Chad is found not guilty, I know that the jury doesn't know everything that everybody else would know watching the trial or having access to the internet and looking up different things. You know, there's certain information that can come into the court and that's the information the jury has to go on. And so it'll be interesting for me to see how that trial eventually wraps up and what the jury finds. I think he's guilty. I'm positive he's guilty. You know, the children were found on his property. And again, his defense attorney seems to be saying he didn't know. You know, it's a large property. Lori and her brother must have put the children there. Like we, you know, who knows? Chad didn't know. He was oblivious. He was just so, you know, in love. I mean, his wife died as well. And again, he's trying to make that out to be, you know, just died of natural circumstances, just, you know, out of nowhere died at 49 years old. He's also being charged. And Lori was found guilty of being complicit in the death of his wife. And so he's also being charged in connection to that and as well as some insurance fraud. So I've been watching that. I've been getting kind of angry at some of the things the defense attorney, I get he has a job and he just has to create reasonable doubt. And that's the job that he's supposed to do. And I don't know. I'm like, really, we're going to go with this sexually assertive woman just came along and he had, you know, he was so smitten or he was so under her spell that either he just went along or was clueless to all these things that are happening and all these bodies that are associated with the two of them coming up, you know, dead, deceased. Anyway, so I've been watching that. And if you're watching that, I'd love to know. You could reach out to me through this podcast. You can leave a comment on, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can feel free to leave a comment there. You know, I'd love to talk about it. My younger sister and I talk about it a little, you know, we don't talk every day, but we're talking about the case. We're talking about different things. I think she's planning again to go up this year. And, you know, last year you had to get on and like reserve a ticket and they're not doing that this year. So she'd have to get up early, make the drive and hope that she gets a spot in the courtroom to sit. She did last year, so she's hoping to be able to do that this year, which I think would be interesting. I don't have a day to just take off, I don't think. So anyway, it's just interesting. I'd be interested to know if any of you are watching it. A lot of my staff is not really interested in true crime, so we don't really, I mean, we've talked about it, but we don't really talk about it very much. And, you know, again, my husband's not true crime. I mean, he'll listen to some things if I give him like two or three highlights of the case proceedings that day. He'll be interested and, you know, he knows enough to have a conversation, but that's just not his thing. And he just kind of gets weirded out by true crime and stories about that. So we're just different in that way. So that's some of what's been going on with me. Now, I wanted to talk about in this podcast episode, you might see the title and be like, this is a unusual title for a podcast that Jackie does. And that's true. And hopefully once you get into the content of it, it's not so unusual or it's not so out of the lane of what I typically talk about. So I was listening on my airplane ride to Mexico. I had downloaded, at the time, it was like one of the latest podcast episodes from one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. The podcast is called You're Roundabout. And I discovered it in 2020 during the pandemic. They had started it prior to the pandemic, but that's when I discovered it. And I love it. I love it. And I went through and I've listened to every episode. And then, you know, they're still releasing some. And so I'm getting newer episodes. And I've gone back and listened to some episodes, some of the episodes I've even listened to four times. I like the content. I think Sarah Marshall is hilarious and she is witty and she's brilliant. And I love the host that she brings on, the co-hosts. You know, she started it with a different co-host and now she just brings on different co-hosts to talk about different subjects. And I love it. And so I had downloaded part one of a two-part episode about George Michael from, you might remember him from Wham back in the day. And then, you know, he went on to be a solo artist under his own name, George Michael. And I was interested. I've not seen any podcast episode that has been done on You're Wrong About that did not, like, that I haven't listened to. I haven't skipped any of them. Some of them, like the Exxon Valdez oil spill, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm interested in that. But again, I think they do a good job and I'm learning things, right? Or I'm remembering things or I'm realizing what I got wrong or what the press got wrong and that I believed and I fell for that was not actually truth. And so I listened to part one of George Michael and then we got back Saturday, this past Saturday. And then yesterday, part two was available. So I listened to part two. And, you know, if you're interested in hearing more about this, I'm not going to, you know, go tell you everything that they talked about in the podcast episode because that would be plagiarism. And again, that would be out of the lane of what I'm talking about. But I think you should check it out. If you're looking for a new podcast or that sounds like something you might be interested in, go check out some of their episodes. I highly recommend the podcast. So they're talking about George Michael. Marcus McCann was her co-host at that time. And, you know, he's kind of like he's done more of the deep dive on George Michael and his life, starting from a young boy, growing up, becoming a pop star, and then, you know, up to his death that happened in 2016. So Marcus McCann has done most of that, you know, research and the deeper dive. And then he's telling Sarah Marshall about it and she's reacting. And, you know, she hasn't done the deep dive. So this is kind of some information she knows, some information she didn't know. That's kind of the format of the podcast. And I think it works really well. So they were talking about George Michael. And, you know, just as I'm listening to the podcast episode, I listened to that podcast episode twice now. And as I was listening to it, you know, I mean, they talk about some of the songs that, you know, were big in the U.S. that, you know, made a wave in the U.S. You know, and as you're listening, you're kind of thinking through the lyrics and kind of singing it in your head as I'm listening. And one of the songs came out like in 1990. Well, actually, there was a song. Let me just kind of back up again. So there was an album, the group Wham. So that was George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley. They were just a duo that made up the pop band named Wham. And so in 1984, they released a song called Freedom. And it's different than the one I want to talk about. But, you know, go back and listen to the 1984 version. You know, I did that and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And then 6 years later, he was a solo artist. At that time, he had left the pop duo of Wham and he was a solo artist. And he put out a song of his own called Freedom with an exclamation point and then an apostrophe in 90. So like Freedom, and it came out in 1990. So I think I was 20 in 1990. And so, you know, they're talking about that song. And again, I'm thinking of the lyrics and in my head, I'm just kind of like, I don't think they played the song, but in my head, maybe Sarah kind of sang along or something. In my head, I'm kind of thinking back to the lyrics and remembering that song. And, you know, there's this one lyric that I remembered and I was like, I got to make sure that that's what that says. And so, you know, I was actually driving in my car when I was listening to it. So I got home, looked it up on my phone, was looking at the lyrics, and I was right. I remembered the lyrics correctly. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't, like, I mean, I can believe that I remember those lyrics. It's not like I think about them even monthly, or probably I haven't thought of them in decades of my life, right? But as I'm listening to this podcast, these two lyrics particularly stood out to me. And, you know, at one point in the song, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but at one point in the song, when he's talking kind of like when he was a young boy, and he says, like, there's someone else I've got to be. And then later, towards the end of the song, he says, there's someone I forgot to be. And I just remember that lyric. And again, this is my 20-year-old self hearing this song. I don't think I even knew at 20 what I wanted to be career-wise. I had no idea what my future looked like. But I remember hearing that, and particularly the one, there's someone I forgot to be. And it seemed somewhat haunting to me. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get to this older place in my life, which I probably thought, like, my current age was, like, so old, right? And feel like, oh, there's someone I forgot to be. So I went back and I looked up the lyrics. And yes, the lyrics do say that. And so I wanted to talk today just about that process. And maybe this doesn't apply to you. Maybe this didn't happen to you. It happened for me. I think it happens for a lot of my clients, where when we were younger, there is that feeling of there's someone else I've got to be. There's someone else I've got to be beside this person or this version of myself. And at some point, we kind of wake up in our life, have an awakening, and kind of come to this idea of there's someone I forgot to be. And I need to get back to that person. I need to make space for that person. Maybe not go back to that person, but I need to make space for that version of myself in my current life, because that matters. That version of myself mattered. And so anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the lyrics of that song today. I want to talk about, you know, some of the things that stood out, because I went down a rabbit hole. Like, they talked about, you know, he was in the tribute that the band Queen did after the passing of Freddie Mercury. I think it was like 6 months after Freddie Mercury's passing. And I think he died in 1991. They did a tribute. The band decided that they were going to do a tribute concert, and it was going to be a fundraiser for HIV. And, you know, it was kind of this thing they talk about in the podcast episode, this massive epidemic that is killing people. And the government is largely ignoring it. And, you know, that, like, this was one of the first times that, like, the remaining members of Queen kind of turned to the public eye and said, we have to do something about this. Like, if our government is not going to do something about this, we're going to start raising that money. We're going to do something about this. So, you know, fortunately, we live in a time of YouTube. And so I could go back and I could watch, you know, George Michael sang one of the songs. So that, you know, they had the remaining members of Queen playing the songs, and then they had different artists who probably volunteered their time and would come and sing different songs. And so George Michael sang a couple of the songs. And then, you know, kind of at the end, Liza Minnelli was singing We Are the Champions. And it just, you know, I mean, to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, this just looks like an ensemble of 80s bands and hair metal performers on the stage coming together. Anyway, so I went down a rabbit hole and watching all these things on YouTube. Some of them I had seen before, some of them I had not. Anyway, it was a whole thing. Absolutely enjoyed myself going down that rabbit hole. But I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about just that concept of when we are young, feeling this, like, I got to be somebody else besides who I am. There's someone else I've got to be. And maybe who I am is wrong, or who I am isn't enough. And then hopefully we get to this place. I think it would be tragic if we didn't get to this place of, wait, there's someone I forgot to be. And making space for that version of ourself that maybe was sacrificed on our journey into adulthood. So if you are a Patreon member, this episode will continue in the Patreon app. And if you are not, that's okay. If you would like to listen to this, you can sign up on Patreon. You'll look for Thanks for Sharing with no spaces in between the words, just Thanks for Sharing. You'll find that, and then it'll kind of prompt you through becoming a member on Patreon. And again, if you're not a Patreon member, this episode is going to end for you at this point. And I would encourage you to go listen to George Michael. I think some of his music is just classic. And he was an artist. And especially I enjoyed listening to Freedom 90, but going back and listening to Freedom in 84. And then he also had a song called Free. I don't think I said this. He had a song that he released in his last, was it his last album? Let me see. I wrote it down. Yeah, so a song called Free closed his third solo album, which was entitled Older. And so I just want to read this from the Los Angeles Times. So this is what the Los Angeles Times said. The specifics of the liberation he's describing, George Michael is describing in each of these different songs that have something to do with free, freedom. It says each of the specifics he's describing in each tune vary. So too did the shape of the British singer stand on the time that he wrote each of them. But to listen to the songs now after his shocking death at 53 is to confront the fact that the reason he kept singing about freedom is because he kept not finding it. So again, if you're a Patreon member, this podcast will continue in the Patreon app. And if not, I will see you all next week when I will be recording a podcast episode with Rachel.
The Legal Stuff. This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and education and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help. Prayer of the Perfectionist. Nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress. Help me to remember the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me. Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me be able to separate all that I am learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I'm not alone. I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.